right, sounds good. Thank you all for joining today's meeting. We have a loaded agenda, a lot of good topics to discuss. In addition, I'd ask the committee to, I'm requesting that we add an agenda item, Southern Connecticut State University, as item G to the agenda, as that needs to be discussed and potentially voted on. So, again, welcome everyone. It's been a while. A lot of things happening behind the scenes. Hopefully tonight I'll be able to share some of these actions that we are taking and some of the things that we're working on with you all. So, to start, and let's start with the attendance. I will start with Chairman Frank Roberts. Are you present?
Here.
All right. Brandy Altica, Vice Chairman.
Here. Here.
Keith Haley.
Here.
All right. Amos Fatorma. Shelly
here.
McDermott. Oh, Amos. Okay.
What?
Shelly McDermott.
I'm on the line.
All right. Carmela Ferreira.
Here.
Rich Braccia.
I'm here.
All right. Alternate Dave Pelagi.
I'm here.
Alternate Angel Torres.
I'm here.
All right. Phil Reps. David Walsh. I know he's present.
Good afternoon.
All right. Nick Faenza.
Here.
Jesse Toll.
I'm here.
Joel Garcia. Zach Moore.
I'm here.
And myself, Tyrell Sampson, is present. Any other non-committee member in attendance?
Yolanda.
Yolanda.
Adam Fairbanks.
Adam. Anyone else? Going once, going twice. All right, we're good. All right, so welcome. First item on the agenda, the approval of the minutes of last meeting, November 30th, 2021. Chairman, well, before we go to that, Chairman, do you have anything that you would like to say before we go right into the agenda?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. So we need the approval of last meeting's minutes conducted on November 30th, 2021.
This is Keith Haley. I make a motion to accept the minutes as presented. Do I have a second?
This is Brandy. I make a second to accept.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. Any abstentions? Okay. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. Budget update. As to date, the program has approximately $1.4 million in the budget. It is slowly increasing. Obviously, sales are doing, I would say, as well as they possibly can at this time. In addition, our expenditures remain low. So I'm pleased with what I see. I think we're probably headed this direction for some time. We do have the seasonal locations ready to operate, so that will, you know, potentially cost the programs a few dollars. But other than that, I'd say as long as we're on track to receive what we've been receiving on average from Pepsi, we would probably slowly creep back up in the budget. Budget is funny because, you know, we've all learned, for many of us that's been in the program, that sometimes having too much money can also attract the wrong eyes in state government, in which sometimes they can swoop down to potentially take. But I think that if the state is in a surplus and we're starting to creep, I don't believe that that's going to be a future problem. So I think we are good. So I'm pleased with seeing that. So there isn't.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tyrell.
Yeah.
Wasn't the last quarterly
actually, I'm sorry, I have to pause there for a second. Please identify who is speaking before the question is asked.
Oh, sorry, Frank Roberts speaking. Was it not at the last quarterly meeting $1.6 million?
It was $1.6 million. but essentially we had a few expenditures, one being obviously the Greenwich. And when we look at the budget, it's not exactly what's raw data as to what the value is. It's kind of in factoring the expenditures. It's factoring upcoming expenses that they pre-approve. We do have the fiscal manager being prepared to retire, so she's kind of setting up some of our future purchase orders before she leaves. And so when we look at the budget, I'm not looking at it from an actual raw dollar standpoint. I'm looking at it for committed expenditures that we anticipate expending. So when we quote these references of dollars, there's the now and the future commitment of expenditures included in that price. So for example, let's say like the Greenwich situation, we right off the bat, that's a $70,000, I believe, 5-year overall commitment. That's if we extend our operation 5 years, but we have to look at it as that is probably going to be a likely expenditure. Now, obviously, there's going to be some return in the operator's expenditure, but the front of that money is on our end. We have the health insurance. That's also an expenditure that's predetermined now. These are things that we're doing internally to ensure our program it remains operational for time to come when the fiscal manager retires out and a new new individual replaces. So
okay,
we're good. Moving along, Schedule C's, anyone that's operational, it is now time that you should be submitting in your Schedule C's if you have them, or if you're prepared, please do so timely, because in state government, like within our own agency, there are a lot of retirees, and there are some retirees in the retirement division, and we've been lucky for past years to have had a core group of individuals, you know, receive our retirement, the operator retirement contributions, at any point. You know, they typically don't come in timely. So with that, there is a clause to allow for penalty for late filings into the retirement division. We've never had that situation be applied to us, but I would suggest that moving forward, if you have a new group of individuals taking over these responsibilities and learning, you know, what to apply and so forth, and they may not be forgiven. So I ask that everybody submit in their Schedule C and their retirement contributions timely, so we can prevent attention to our program as to the filing. So just word of advice. And I will send an email in regards to that, because obviously I know I'm talking to predominantly the core of the committee and not all of the operators, so I will send an email. Any questions in regards to that? If none, we can move along to new business, and I have here Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors. I wanted to kind of talk to you all today in regards to kind of, you know, the program's view of the committee and kind of, you know, what hopefully everyone's mindset is when you're sitting as a committee member. You know, the purpose of the committee, in my eyes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's to assist the program's administration with ideas and solutions and resolutions. And, you know, it's my job to review those ideas and some of the solutions or resolutions that are being suggested and look at it from a programmatic standpoint, you know. And sometimes when you look at things from a programmatic standpoint, it may not fare well into your mind as to thinking that, you know, the agency is not doing what they're supposed to be doing or should be doing or isn't doing enough. I think it's important that all of you understand that, you know, my job and the administration's job is to look at it from a programmatic standpoint and ensure that any decision that we make, it's for the best interest of the program, not individual operator, not individual situation. And that a lot of times you have to incorporate devil's advocate views and not just look at the good. So, you know, when we talk about things or things are brought to the program, I need all of you to understand that, you know, we may be able to, you know, look into some of these things further, and then we may not. But if we are not, have to be respectful of understanding that it's not because we don't want to see an operator succeed or we don't want to see the program pushed to another level, but it's the implications that you may not be considering. Yes, states, other states may do certain things. I need everyone to understand we're Connecticut, and Connecticut works in a Connecticut way, and that we cannot just adopt the good of every state and think that it's, we're going to make this ultimate program. Things that are being viewed from the outside that may appear good for one state may not necessarily align with Connecticut. And so I think, you know, when we think about that and we think about the way we operate in our small state, we have to look at things from a broad view, because certainly, you know, we're pretty mixed as far as responsibilities. We have cafeterias, we have micro markets being ran by third parties, we have micro markets being ran by single operators, we have vending, we have a vending group, so we, you know, we had a gift shop, so we have a multitude of list of opportunities. But sometimes when we look to make a change that may specifically work for one specific type of business opportunity, you got to also think of what the potential hindrance is on others. So you know, I just wanted to throw that out there to let you all know that it's always in our best interest to provide the most we can for each and every one of you, but it also is our interest to be assured that whatever we do, it's for the safety and, you know, the continuous longevity of the program. So I just wanted to kind of state that in today's meeting. Does anyone have anything in regards to that comment that I just made? If not, we can move along. I believe the next option is transfer and promotion. You know, this year it was brought to my attention that we needed some clarification as to what the policy and the authority level the subcommittee should have in regards to reviewing promotion and transfer. Unfortunately,
sorry.
You know, we have to. Hi, Shelly.
I'm sorry, this is Shelly. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to mute now.
All right, thank you. Transfer and promotion. So essentially, there needed to be some clarification in regards to what level the subcommittee has in regards to viewing above and beyond the typical checklist that we've always operated under for some time. I think there was a minor adjustment as to the 80% rule and that being eliminated based off of, I guess, the inability to truly monitor someone's attendance at a location. So, but outside of that, we've always operated under this one list. So a few questions Chairman Roberts has brought to my attention in which he requested I address, and I felt that this should be addressed amongst all of the committee members and not directly to the chairman. So I will. So the first question that was brought to me was explain medical leave, if that's the right term, doctor's note to sign up, question mark, and the parameter for length of time, etc. My answer to that is medical leave in regards to any operator in our program won't be discussed with anybody on this committee, won't be discussed with anybody, any subcommittee, and it won't be discussed with any unassigned field rep for that operator. You know, should the agency or the building authority in charge feel there's a concern on the length of the operator's need to remain away from his or her facility in which the operator oversees, it's the agency's job to address this issue of concern, and it's a situational base. You know, we have to keep in mind, and I'm just going to use a broad view, every operator in this program endures certain levels of responsibility. Cafeteria operators, they're required obviously to be or should be, depending on their involvement, in person every day, right? So then you have operators that self-fill micro markets. You know your responsibility. You know, if it's daily, bi-daily, whatever, you know, you found works to achieve the level of expectation of the building, that's what you have. You have operators who have teamed up with teaming partners. Their level's different as well. And so with that being said, it's my thought process to treat each and every one of you as an adult and as true business operators who understand your responsibilities and ensure that at the end of the day, the building is satisfied. Now, if there is something that is brought to our attention as a program, first and foremost, should anyone have a medical leave, the first thing that should be done is you notify us. You notify the program, notify me, and you know, we'll have that discussion as to what a specific time you need off for your medical condition. Things are going to happen to each and every one of us. And so with that being said, you know, we as an agency have to ensure that we put the right pieces in place to ensure that operational needs are continue to be met. And so, you know, physical issues are going to happen. You know, you can have a mental issue. I mean, to me, it does not warrant the need to come with a standard process of medical rules and regulations, because all types of things are going to happen to us down the line. It's just our responsibility to ensure that our commitment remains the same, and the understanding of expectation and responsibility remains the same, and that we will do as much as we can from the agency perspective to offset that void if it's due to medical issues, okay? Second question that was brought to me, is the agency responsible for coverage, or does the operator have to find coverage? I know I'm not the only one, but I thought the operator was responsible to find coverage. Well, operators are always responsible to find coverage, first and foremost. Field reps were not hired to be employees of operators. All right? I got to be clear on that. For those operators that have decided to partner with third-party companies, they'll always have an upper hand. And I think people have to understand that, because essentially, those operators who have decided to go that route, they're essentially already losing some financial, right? Because you're partnering, so you have a little loss there. But the big piece that they gain is they have a team. They have a group of people that ensures their operations operate in the manner that it would operate whether they were there or not. Does not exclude anyone from not being at their location, but in the case of something where, you know, there's the requirement or the need for an operator to leave their facility or not be a part of the facility for some time, their facility is probably going to run okay, and that's not their fault. You know, again, there are standards that we as an agency have, but if this is pertaining to medical, again, you know, if things are being taken care of and you have an ongoing need for medical attention, that you should not be penalized for your ongoing need. And I'm not going to penalize you. So, I mean, it can't be any clearer than that. Well, that's that. And then, can an operator currently on medical leave receive a promotion? Absolutely. You know, no operator should be disqualified as to having a need for medical leave. You know, again, situational as an agency, each facility requires its own individual level of commitment. So should an operator be unable to provide the commitments required, I would expect the operator to be truthful as to their ability to, you know, visit their location or man their location, work to essentially have a backup plan to keep their operation operational, and that should not require the removal of a promotion or transfer list. You know, certainly if there's any view from the agency's perspective that this medical leave is being abused or, you know, is not being properly utilized, then, you know, again, that's internal processes that may require, you know, additional medical notifications to support the operator's request to extend their assets. But again, that's all in-house. So what happens if I identify there's something that's not right with the medical leave? Well, I would essentially approach the committee and just tell you all that such and such should be withdrawn from the promotion to transfer. I'm not going to give details because it's not anyone's business other than the administration's to address these issues on a case-by-case situation. So I need to be clear on that. I will not have discussions about other operators with anyone other than the triangle, which would be essentially the field rep, if required, and directly the operator. So I want to be clear on that. So hopefully that answers the question.
This is Adam. I wanted to just tell David Walsh that they haven't brought the toilet paper or paper towels yet from the town.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Could you? Adam, unfortunately, we can't have these type of side discussions on today's meeting, so...
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, no
but I
problem.
They hadn't brought it yet, and I just wanted to mention that.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yep, does anyone have any questions in regards to medical leave? Please ask them now, because if not, I would say the subcommittee to continue with the process quickly and establishing the promotion to transfer list so we can start that, as we have a few facilities or that we need to fill quickly. So.
This is Frank. I have a quick question.
Yep.
I've been fortunate enough to not need medical leave, but I have had, what's the word for it? It's not coming to me right now, but basically if I have a family member in need, family time. Several years back, I traveled to Michigan. The program assisted me because I had someone terminally ill, and I was visiting, and they did come and assist me with that, and it was prolonged. I mean, I was probably gone for a month. I called Ed after 2 weeks, said he's not decreasing very fast, and then as soon as I made that phone call, it happened very quickly afterward. But basically, Ed told me, you're there for a reason, because I was calling him because I was nervous that I was away 2 weeks. On the other side, I've heard that other operators couldn't even get any assistance to cover attending a funeral. Should I have not received that assistance years past?
I don't know. I can't speak on Ed's practice. All I can say is that my mindset is everything's situational. You know, if we're talking about someone that needs direct time off directly related to family issues, and if we have field reps that have the ability to assist, if the operator has no luck first in establishing a backup on their own, then we'll do it. You know, it's all situational.
Right.
I'm not going to, you know, speak on Ed's allowance. All I can say is if we can do it, we will do it. If we can't do it, I think what I want clear is that you have to have, everyone should have an understanding that if it's a no, you have to understand there's a legit reason behind that, and not, you know, again, look at someone else's situation and compare yours to the others, because everybody's situation is going to be different on any given day, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we will try our best to accommodate for situations, because again, life happens and things are going to happen to us all. And if we're able to assist, we can. If worse comes to worse, we can't, and you can't find someone to back up your facility, then it may have to close for the period of time that which you need off. Again, my mindset is not to penalize an operator because they need situational time off for something that could be, you know, potentially life-changing. It's just that, you know, if we can assist, we will. If we can't and you can't find someone, then it will close. But I'm not going to put the pressure on any operator to say, you know, if you're not at your facility, then you're gone. Like, that's not my mindset. I think all of you know me. You know, I come with a mindset of let's just figure it out and let's get it done. I don't like problems. I like resolution. So I'm always going to think resolution first. So I don't see any problem with accommodations if we can. And again, this is for medical leave.
Can you see me with a comment?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want people to understand and remember that, you know, if you work private sector or even, you know, you're a state employee, you have set days, personal time, sick days, you know, other things are, you know, considered your benefits. When we run our establishment, we're business owners. We don't have those, we don't have sick days. You know, if you're sick, you know, you got to find somebody to run your place or you close. If you have, you know, a personal business, a small business outside of this program, say you run a hardware store and you have to go away for 2 weeks. Well, if you have someone to run your place, you have to close. Well, we can't do that. We can't close our businesses, I mean our buildings. So our businesses have to go on. So although field reps are not employees of us, you know, if they have to run by your place to help out, you know, we're here for the program, and we're here to make operators employed and better. So I don't think anyone should be penalized, as the same things you're saying, Tyrell. We don't want to penalize anybody for having a medical situation or if they have to go away for 2 weeks. But the operator works with the program, with the agency, and in turn makes sure that the building's needs are being satisfied. And I don't think we should ever try to hurt an operator because they have personal needs. And, you know, again, being a state employee or a private sector, you have those days built into your benefits. We don't have that. So we have to look other routes to keep our businesses afloat while we are away. So I just want to make that comment, that's all.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And that's the bottom line, is that, you know, I always come with these thoughts and these comments looking at it from a team approach. Because at the end of the day, it's no benefit for me to essentially have your facility closed. Because, I mean, I look bad, right? Now, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want added attention to our program if we can diffuse that or deflect that. So it's always going to be my mindset to do whatever we can to keep you operational during your time of need. And, you know, should it come to the point of closure, it is going to be very dissatisfactory to myself to even have to send that email if it would be required. So I would try to do the best I can to cover everyone's needs to, you know, while you need that time. So just keep that in mind. I'm flexible, but everything's going to be situational, and that's just how we should look at it. Next agenda item: vocational rehabilitation federal dollars. So, Chairman, you had reached out to the agency in regards to the Voc Rehab dollars that were essentially being matched through the maintenance of effort through vocational rehabilitation being used off of the backs of our purchases or some of our expenditures for new equipment in prior years, and in addition to the fact that our program is not utilizing the payroll of the business business and our BEP program field reps to essentially be reimbursed through the reallotment dollars of vocational rehabilitation. So, you know, you posed a good question. You know, what we were able to do was kind of investigate on our end as to those dollars and the match process. In turn, the response to that was, you know, we are using the Voc Rehab federal dollars when required. We weren't, and so to give an example of that, we're currently obviously taking the Greenwich Beach concession location. That right now is, I've estimated the expenditures necessary for the purchase of added in equipment is somewhere roughly around $35,000. So we are working on requesting the federal funds to expend for that. So we've oftentimes in the past years been able to utilize the federal dollars when necessary or within the parameters set by RSA. We haven't used them for the payroll expense, and the primary reason, or one reason as to date as to why we can't, is because this maintenance of effort is exactly that. In order for VR, and I'm not going to speak in true depth of Voc Rehab, but the way their program operates essentially is whatever monies are used the prior year, they can essentially ask for reallotment based off of expenditures, and that's what kind of keeps their budget rolling year after year. Well, when COVID hit the prior year, and I'm just going to give examples. Let's say VR asked for $5 million and for 2020, then COVID hit. Well, what happens with these dollars, if you don't expend all of the dollars that you predict you're going to need for the following fiscal year, you get penalized, and the penalty is essentially whatever, from what I understand, is whatever you didn't expend, you, it's like deducted for your next following year. So for example, if VR used or requested $5 million for the prior 2020, and then it was observed that they only they only expended $3 million.